sing praises to the Lord now, and rightfully so, for who he is, our Savior, a personal relationship with him. But I think about going to heaven. I think about when we're standing before God in heaven, when we see his angelic host, when we see, first of all and foremost, Jesus himself, when we see all those that are there, when we have our new eternal bodies that God has promised us, bodies that will never see death or sickness or sorrow or pain or anything like that, will never fade away. And a body that's new and different like Jesus had when he was here on earth, when he resurrected from the dead, appearing and disappearing, passing through the doors of the upper room, eating if you want to. I like that especially. And the fact is that we have a new body that will be used for God's glory forever and ever. But I was thinking about, as we're giving praise to God and honoring him for who he is, that one day with our new bodies we'll be capable, because some of us have those physical restrictions, where we can fall down on our faces before God, prostrate before him, and we can honor him and worship him, and we can praise him, and we can jump if we want to, and we can lift our hands. We can do that here. We can jump if we want to. I mean, when we were looking at Benin as a possibility of going there on a mission trip a while back, and we were watching some of the footage from Benin, that, you know, the culture there was that of jumping up and down in worship and praising God for that. And I think heaven's going to be full of dancing and singing and jumping and praising, and who knows, maybe a few backflips too, I don't know, to honor God. But also, in all due respect, to bow before him and to know that we're in his presence. What a wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation that we have through faith in Christ the Lord. I want to talk this morning about gifts. Sean brought up a really good point this morning, and several points, but this morning I like this analogy of the gift of apologetics. At first when you said that, I'm thinking, wow, he's got a box under the tree, they're going to open it up, and they're going to talk about apologetics. I didn't quite catch it, but it was really cool, because apologetics is not apologizing for our faith. Apologetics is defending our faith with a clarity and an understanding of what we know, what we believe and why we believe it, and people want to hear that. And that's a gift for us to defend our faith and to lay it down before the Lord, as we affirm that with the Lord and he affirms it with us, but also to bear witness of that to those that God allows us to have the opportunity to share our faith with. I want to talk about another gift that, you know, years ago when I was a younger Christian, my heart just wanted to do something physically for Christ. I wanted to give him a physical gift. And I'm thinking, well, he's in heaven, I'm here. I can't really give him a gift. But what I started doing, and I started to look for it this morning, I couldn't find it. You ever see those, especially back in the 70s, they were like, what do you call that? Cedarwood boxes. They have the picture of Jesus on the front and your Bible was on the inside. Well, I had one of those that was given to me by a close friend. And what I used to do is I would sit down and I'd write a letter to Jesus telling him how much I love him and appreciate him and try to make it personal, you know. And I wrote a letter and I'd sign it, "Love, Terry," and I'd fold it up, put an envelope, and stick it into that cedar box. It was a way that somehow that I was thinking, you know, "Lord, I know it's not going to be delivered to you, but I'm delivering it to you in prayer from my heart." It's a way of giving a gift to God. There are a lot of people that think today that gifts to God that he really, really values. And I'm not to diminish this in any way, shape, or form, because he does. When we serve him with a right heart and a pleasing heart and a surrendered heart to him, he's honored by that. That's, again, what Scripture talks about, that when we, our works are judged by God, and that the things are done with a right heart before him, he honors with great rewards in heaven. But with that, you know, a lot of times people will find themselves falling into the trap of religion, falling in the trap. "Well, I've gone to church, I paid my tithe, I serve in this capacity," and the list can go on. So we can fall into the trap of religion. And what I mean by that is that we can fall into the trap of religion by being in action before the Lord, but not being in heart before God. And God wants the heart more than the action, but action always follows the heart as we give our lives to Jesus. And that's something that, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, it's made very plain in the scripture. So I want to talk about us giving a gift to God. My gift to you this morning is that this is a short message. It's a bullet message. It's just right there. And so in Micah 6:6-8, it says, what gift can I give to God? And Micah, the prophet in the Old Testament, he says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? You know, as the Jews would give their offerings to the Lord, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the intent of that sacrifice and offering before God. Some couldn't afford it, but the best that they could give, they would give to the Lord. And verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? That's a weird one. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. So, you know, if I give thousands of offerings of animals, and offerings were a temporary payment to appease God for our own sin against him. And in that, he said, if I give 1,000 offerings like that, or if I get 10,000, what's it say, rivers of oil. Oil was used for the temple and the worship of God. Shall I give my firstborn? Now, in the Old Testament, and when Israel fell away from God, they would yield themselves to offering their firstborn to God as burnt sacrifices. How awful is that? But they repented of that and came back to the Lord. But he's saying, you know, this is my firstborn that I want to offer to you. Would that be enough? I mean, of all things, my first child, would that be enough? Was the emphasis here. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. In verse 8 it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? I think the gifts are not as much the service or religion as we might define that in our own hearts. But the gift that we can give God is our heart. That's nothing profound. That's something that we have to be reminded of. It says that we are to give, to be just, we are to show love, and we are to walk humbly with the Lord. And when we do that, we're going to look at those three words in a minute, those three actions in a moment. But in Hosea 12:6, it says, so you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. Your God is emphasizing here through the prophet Hosea that we're to show mercy, we're to be just, and we're to wait on God continually. In Amos 5:24, it says, but let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Are we seeing the personal characteristics that God wants us to have? That these things are to overflow, that justice and mercy and humility before him and service to him is what he desires. But when I was talking about religion becoming that tripping point, that trips up people, that catches people in the wrong way, we have to go back to Matthew when we talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because you and I know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were very religious, and many of them, most of them, were not in heart right with God. Now, that's a bold statement, but when we read in scriptures through all this, they were more concerned about their being honored by people and their religious rights and their enforcing those things than bringing people to a right relationship with God. In Matthew 23:23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Here God laid on Matthew's heart, say, here are the weightier things of the law. The weightier things than religion is justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. We should be serving God with a heart of joy and fullness in him. And we should be caring and loving toward others, sharing justice with them and mercy, and sharing our faith with them, defending our faith to them. I want to talk about justice for just a moment. Justice means we must treat all with fairness, whether physically, materially, or in name. But I have to ask this question, how has God dealt with us justly? Well, what is our just, if the old-fashioned word, recompense? What did we deserve? What do we deserve? As people that have a sinful nature and fallen sin and all these types of things, we deserve to be punished for our sin. That's what Scripture says. It's not a popular thing to think about today. But what has God done for us justly? Through His Son, who shed His blood for us and gave Himself for us as a gift of salvation, through Him, we've been justified through faith in Christ. Now, because of that, when we put our faith in Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and we follow Him, then when we have opportunity to show justice to others, that we share the justice of God's faith with us, faith that He's the justice that God has given us through faith in Him, that we share that gift of justice with other people. The gospel message. I'm reading a book right now, talks about the gospel message being that of irrelevancy for today's age. And yet you say, what's the word of God? It's the gospel message. It's never irrelevant. But if you were to go up to somebody today, they might say, why is it important to me to put my faith in Jesus, who you say is the Messiah that died 2,000 years on a cross? What does that benefit for me? And we might say, well, you're a sinner and your sins are going to be forgiven. And by faith in Christ, you aren't separated from God in eternity in hell because you've rejected Him. But you get to go to heaven through faith in Christ. But there's a great gap of disconnect because some people don't even believe in heaven and hell. But if you were to reach people and to share with them, look, God can give you hope. God can give you acceptance. God can give you approval. God can give you a new life. God can renew you and empower you to be a person you never thought was possible. And this is through His Son, Jesus. And this is what Jesus did for you. You see, then we're bringing the relativeness to the person. And there's lots of ways that we can do that. We can share the justice of God because we know what we really are due, and we know what God has done for us. What a marvelous gift. But we're to remember also, like I was saying, that we are forgiven for all our sins. Therefore, we're to show mercy. I think mercy is one of the kindest things that we can give. You see, when we're giving a gift to God, when we go back to justice, when we're sharing how God has provided a way of salvation that makes us justified in God's eyes and share that with others, but then just go a step further and to learn how to show mercy, not just to your brothers and sisters in Christ, which is first and foremost, but to people, all people. When God is merciful with us, and has He not been merciful, He sent His Son? Is He not merciful with us on a regular basis when we go to Him and we acknowledge, Lord, I blew it? And yet God in His gracious love and through the Holy Spirit just lets us know, you're forgiven, forget it, move on. And He shows us mercy. We don't get what we know we deserve in that respect. And that's what mercy is. Mercy is saying, look, I'm looking beyond what I know you deserve. I'm looking beyond the insult that whatever offense or whatever situation that they've dug a hole for themselves. And we're showing mercy. The person on the street that's homeless, the drug addict, all the people of all sorts and backgrounds and character and that are in line with our character qualifications and others that are outside the box of what we're used to being around. When we show mercy, that's showing not worthy kindness, not due kindness, not due love, but we're showing we're reaching out to people in ways that they know they don't deserve. That's a gift that we can give God. When we're sharing the mercy, we know God's shown us mercy, so therefore we show mercy to others. We take on the character, the virtue of our Lord. The Lord has justified me. The Lord has shown me mercy. So therefore I'm going to share the justice of God with other people, and I'm going to be merciful to others and not treat them the way I think they deserve, but treat them with mercy. And then humility, I love that. Because pride is something that we wrestle with. I don't know about you. I know I do. Wrestle with. We're focused in this world with so much self-centered pride rather than humility before the Lord. At least I think so. But when we're humble before God, there's a tenderness and a warmth and a closeness because with God that reflects that surrendered spirit, that surrendered heart to God that says, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. Lord, I am not only content, but I am joyous in laying myself with all genuineness of heart before you. I find joy in being in your presence and subject to you. Not digging my heels in the dirt, not standing before God and telling him what I think he should do, but being humble before God and yielding to what he has. Walking in humility. Not as some that might say, well, you know what, I'm a Christian and I'm better than you are. That's not humility, that's pride. And we're to show that humility because God has humbled himself for us. Jesus, who always has been and always will be, in a little bleep of time of 33 years, which is nothing to God, left his glory, left his throne, left in the presence of the Father, and became man at his birth that we celebrate now at Christmas time. And we know the story. We know the account. We know his death. We know his shame. We know his ridicule. We even know in Psalm 69 when it talks about the life of Jesus as he was growing up and the ridicule that he got and his mother got for being an unwed child, if you want to use the other term, you know what that is. He was humble. He humbled himself. He deserves all glory and praise. He deserves all of us to be on our face before him. In all humility and sincerity of heart and worship him. And if we can't do it physically, we can do it in our own soul where we bow down to him. He deserves all of that, but he made himself humble that he might provide that way of salvation for you and I. So therefore, since we have such a great benefit that came from the humility of Jesus himself in the flesh who died and rose and went to heaven for our benefit, why can't we be, or why shouldn't we be, or we should be that much the more humble before him and with each other? Scripture talks about put each other first before ourselves. That's not an easy thing when we contend with pride. But when we contend not with pride, but we surrender ourselves in humility to God, we find that that's an easier thing to do. Because it's not about us winning, it's about God getting the glory. But I want to share with you there is a perfect gift that we can give God. I love the apologetics analogy. The letters to write to Christ. The way we treat others. But the best gift is still yet to be presented. In Matthew 22:36-39 it says this. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? They're asking Jesus, what's the most important thing that you want us to know? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As often as we've heard that, how relative is that in each one of our lives? There are days when we are not loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. There is a continual challenge for each one of us to surrender to God with that kind of love. And yet God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, enables us to love God the Father that way. Because we can't do it on our own. And so what God desires is that we love him with all that we are in our heart. That means that every area of my life, every thought in my life, everything about me that I want to bring subject to Jesus. And I want to die to myself and I want to live for him. I want to love him more than anyone else or anything else that this world can even offer. I want my relationship with Jesus to be the most precious, the most endearing, the most deep and personal, and the most vivacious than any other relationship that I could have. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, bringing your thoughts captive to Christ. This is the first and great commandment. This is not a request. This is not an ideology. This is what God has commanded. You are my children. I want you to love me with everything that you are. That's our gift. Part one of it. Part two is that the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Showing mercy, justice, humility, not seeking our own selves, seeking the glory of God. We have an opportunity to lay down some gifts before God every day of our life. And God will be glorified by these things. And you know what? We are prosper because of those things too. We're prosper in our spiritual walk, our spiritual relationship. Everything that God would have us to do, we'll prosper with fruitfulness and we'll glorify God if we are willing to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. And so, it is possible to give gifts to God whom we have not yet seen. So when we store up treasures in heaven, as where moth and rust, where thieves don't break in and moth and rust does not corrupt, those will reflect our surrender to Him and loving Him. Those will reflect our gift of life, of giving our own life to Him. And so to give gifts to God who lives in heaven and in our hearts, yes, we can give gifts to God by living our lives justly, mercifully, humbly, and most of all, by loving God completely and loving others. If a Muslim comes by you, think individual. Create it in God's image, right? Love all people. If an atheist comes by you, if a Satanist comes by you, if someone who's just ordinary comes by you, show them the justice of God, the mercy of God, and all humility. And give ourselves completely to Him and love other people. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give you gifts, to lay down before your throne, not just at Christmas time, but Father, every day of our lives. That as we surrender to you, as we turn away from our own selves and turn ourselves to you, as we not walk in the flesh, but we walk in your spirit by choice, as we surrender all that we are in heart, mind, and soul to you, that we love you beyond anyone or anything. In these ways, we can lay the most precious of gifts before your feet and to know that you are blessed, pleased, and magnified. So help us to do these things. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.